Today صبحية. Pope calls the South. شو الأخبار؟ Pope Leo made an unannounced video call to border priests in the South. Fadil Shaki walked out of one courtroom only to face four more, and Hezbollah is busy denying things in Syria again. It's a Thursday that feels like a season finale. Let's get into it. Pope Leo surprises southern Lebanon priests with unexpected video call. Pope Francis joined an unannounced video call Wednesday with 13 Catholic and Maronite priests from southern Lebanese villages, including Rmeish, Ain Ebel, Deybel, and Majayoun, who had gathered online for a routine meeting with the Vatican's ambassador to Lebanon, Archbishop Paolo Borgia. The Pope, speaking in French during a call that lasted roughly 1 minute, urged the priests to remain in their hometowns. "Pray with me so that peace prevails. God willing, peace is near," he said. The call came days after the Israeli military demolished a Catholic convent in the border village of Yaroun, an act Lebanese officials and a nun who spent time there say was confirmed, despite the Israeli military's disputed account, and after images of an Israeli soldier striking a statue of Jesus in Deybel drew widespread condemnation. Parish priest Father Najib Al-Amil of Rmeish said the Pope's words were reassuring, particularly as we live in constant worry over here, reflecting the sustained tension that has persisted despite the ceasefire that took effect on April 17. Why it matters? A Pope publicly reaching out to border clergy, just days after a convent demolition and a defaced Christian statue, signals that the fate of Lebanon's southern Christian communities is drawing attention well beyond the region. Fadil Shakir acquitted in Hammoud case, but prison isn't over yet. The Beirut Criminal Court, presided over by Judge Bilal Adanawi, acquitted Lebanese singer Fadil Shakir and Sheikh Ahmed Al-Asir on Wednesday of the attempted murder of Hilal Hammoud, a Hezbollah-affiliated Resistance Brigade's official in Sidon, citing insufficient material and moral evidence against both men. The ruling was a majority verdict. 2 out of 3 judges agreed. Judge Sara Barish dissented and sought 4 years for Shakir and 8 years for Al-Asir, according to Al-Mudun. Shakir's acquittal will not lead to immediate release. He still faces 4 pending cases before the military court, including charges related to the 2013 Abra events, financing armed groups and money laundering, with a potentially pivotal session scheduled for May 26. Al-Asir also remains imprisoned, facing a death sentence issued in 2017 by the military court for the Abra events, a file still before the Court of Cassation. The backstory: the 2013 Abra clashes erupted in Sidon between the Lebanese army and the armed group of Sheikh Ahmed Al-Asir, a Sunni cleric who had positioned himself in opposition to Hezbollah. Fadil Shakir, once one of Lebanon's most beloved singers, was accused of supporting Al-Asir's movement. The incident left soldiers dead and became one of the more charged sectarian flashpoints of that era. What to watch? The May 26 military court session is the next real inflection point. If Shakir's 4 security files are resolved favorably, his release becomes a live possibility for the first time in years. Hezbollah in Syria. The accusation-denial loop that won't stop. Syria's Ministry of Interior announced the dismantling of a Hezbollah-affiliated cell it says it's targeting 5 Syrian governorates and planning a series of assassinations. Members had reported trained in Lebanon, including the direct official responsible for the assassination file within the militia. Hezbollah denied responsibility, continuing a pattern Daraj describes as a sustained accusation-denial cycle that has played out across multiple incidents: kidnappings near the Zaita Dam, rocket launch cells in Darayya and Kafr Susa, and border skirmishes west of Al-Qasair, each denied by the party. Syria has been squeezing Hezbollah's supply lines from 2 directions. The Syrian government raids tunnels on the ground, including 2 recently closed in Al-Qasair and Homs, while Israeli strikes target border crossings from the air, including a threat to bomb the Masnat crossing. Zooming out, with Hezbollah's Iranian supply lines severed after Assad's fall, and Israel targeting border routes from the air, the Syrian government's repeated accusations, whatever their precise accuracy, are reshaping how the party is perceived across the region, at its weakest moment since its founding. Moving on to quick hits. Round 3, Washington again. A third round of direct Lebanon-Israel talks is set for next week at the U.S. Department of State over 2 consecutive days, with Lebanon's delegation led by Ambassador Simon Kadam and a Lebanese Armed Forces representative, after Beirut submitted a file of alleged Israeli ceasefire violations ahead of the session. Salam draws his red line. Prime Minister Nawaf Salam clarified that Lebanon seeks peace, not normalization with Israel, calling any talk of a meeting with Netanyahu premature, and insisting the minimum demand remains a clear timetable for Israeli withdrawal aligned with a plan to confine weapons to the state. Maronite bishops back the table. The Council of Maronite Archbishops, meeting under Patriarch Al-Rahi, endorsed negotiations with Israel under Arab and international auspices, stating bluntly that alternatives tried for decades produced occupation instead of liberation, a pointed break from resistance-era logic. Ceasefire or slow squeeze? Weeks after the April 17 truce, Israel's self-declared buffer zone now spans roughly 55 towns and villages emptied of residents, with evacuation orders reaching as far as the Sidon district and parts of the Bekaa, while hundreds of reported violations have continued on both sides.
Soldier Cigarette Mary. Israel's military launched an investigation after a photo circulated showing a soldier placing a cigarette in the mouth of a Virgin Mary statue in the southern Lebanese village of Daybil, the latest in a series of incidents involving the desecration of religious sites and property in the south. In international news, UAE's royal family quietly collected 71 million euro in EU farm subsidies. A cross-border investigation by Deswag, shared with The Guardian, found subsidiaries controlled by Abu Dhabi's Al Nahyan family collected more than 71 million euro in EU agricultural subsidies over 6 years through farmland in Romania, Italy, and Spain. The largest beneficiary is Agricost, Romania's single biggest farm at 57,000 hectares, 5 times the size of Paris, which received 10.5 million euro in direct EU payments in 2024 alone, more than 1,600 times the average EU farm's payout that year. The Al Nahyan family's estimated wealth exceeds $320 billion, largely from oil, yet the UAE imports up to 90% of its food. The subsidized European farmland is part of a food security strategy supplying crops and animal feed back to the Gulf. The European Commission has proposed capping land-based payments at 100,000 euros per farmer annually starting in the 2028-2034 cycle, a change that would affect only 0.5% of the EU's top landowners who currently capture 16% of the entire subsidy budget. The bigger picture, the findings arrive as EU policymakers debate reform of farm subsidies worth roughly 54 billion euros a year, and the case has sharpened scrutiny of how little transparency currently exists around the ultimate owners benefiting from public agricultural funds. Hantavirus outbreak on Antarctic cruise ship kills 3, spreads concern across continents. Authorities confirmed that passengers aboard the MV Hondius, a cruise ship that departed Atimdidinarkanai for Antikar, tested positive for the Andes virus, a strain of hantavirus. 3 passengers have died and at least 1 remains in intensive care in a South African hospital. Argentina's health ministry reported 101 hantavirus infections since June 2025, roughly double the prior year's rate, and on Wednesday dispatched genetic material and testing equipment to Spain, Senegal, South Africa, the Netherlands, and the United Kingdom. Concern spread after 23 passengers reported disembarked on the island of St. Helena on April 23 and returned to their home countries before the outbreak was widely flagged. American passengers were being monitored in Georgia, California, and Arizona, though none had shown signs of illness. The WHO's director general said the overall public health risk remains low, while contact tracing continued. 3 passengers were evacuated from the vessel on Wednesday, allowing the ship to resume its journey toward the Canary Islands. What to watch? Investigators are still tracing where passengers traveled in Argentina before boarding in Ushuaia on April 1st. The virus can incubate for between 1 and 8 weeks, leaving the origin of contamination unconfirmed. RightsCon 2026 canceled after Chinese diplomatic pressure on Zambia over Taiwan. Access Now, the digital rights organization behind RightsCon, canceled the 2026 edition of the conference, which had been scheduled for Lusaka, Zambia between May 5 and 8, just days before its launch, citing what it described as foreign interference by Chinese diplomats pressuring the Zambian government. The organization said Zambian officials signaled the event would only proceed if Taiwanese civil society participants were excluded from both in-person and online sessions, a condition Access Now called a red line incompatible with its values. The canceled edition would have been the first time RightsCon was hosted on the African continent. Organizers had expected more than 2,600 in-person attendees and 1,100 online participants from over 150 countries and 750 institutions across 13 prior editions. Zooming out, the cancellation has drawn attention from digital rights advocates globally as an example of how geopolitical rivalries, particularly those involving Taiwan's international participation, are reshaped in an index casting sand where civil society can convene. And now, Rirhek. Besides that, see, paralysis, no problem. Lebanese athlete Michael Haddad, paralyzed in 75% of his body since a jet ski accident at age 6, completed a 15-hour solo sea crossing from Junia to Larnaca, Cyprus on April 26, turning the open water journey into a global platform for disability rights and conflict zones. Lebanese woman, Iraqi league. Coach Elisa Haddad has made history as the first woman to lead a men's team in Iraq's premier basketball league, guiding the Sapes club to its first ever top flight qualification after 3 years of training, and she says they're aiming to compete, not just participate. Arsenal state with destiny. The Gunners are headed to their first Champions League final in 20 years, facing PSG on May 3rd at Budapest's 67,000-capacity Puskas Arena, the only unbeaten side left in the competition, with just 6 goals conceded across the entire tournament. 2 billion gangsters. Coolio's 1995 classic Gangster's Paradise has crossed 2 billion YouTube views, the late rapper's first video to hit the milestone, 31 years after it spent 3 weeks atop the Billboard Hot 100 and won him a Grammy for Best Rap Solo Performance. That's your Thursday. Go make it count. That's today's Sophia. Share it with a friend.